This is Luke 23, beginning in verse 26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' For they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" This is the word of the Lord. I am not much of a crier. It takes a lot to bring me to tears. And we could spend the next 15 minutes trying to psychoanalyze me, try to figure out why that is and what sort of thing is broken in me. But I don't think we'd get very far. And some of you here today, you cry very easily. You have sensitive souls that are easily moved to tears. Others of you, you can cry on command. And you've used this, haven't you? Against your parents, against cops, against all kinds of people. Others of you are a little bit more like me. And maybe others of you, you haven't even cried in more than a decade. For me, tears, they come with great difficulty. But when they come in these moments. These moments in my life when my soul is so provoked that there is no response, nothing that I can help within myself. There is no response except tears. And our tears are like that, aren't they? Even the hardest of hearts can be provoked to the point where dignity can no longer be controlled. And there is no other option but to open the floodgates and just let the tears roll. This week leading up to Easter, we are asking this question: how will you respond to Jesus? How do you respond to the cross of Christ? Are you moved? Do you find yourself being more emotional this week than others? Has your soul been provoked, your affections stirred? Or for today, perhaps the question is this: has your soul been so shaken that the only response that you could possibly have to the cross of Christ is tears? Our passage today gives three types of tears, three types of tears that are provoked in us when we consider the cross of Jesus Christ, three types of tears that reveal how we see Jesus and how we see ourselves. Tears of mourning, tears of guilt, and tears of joy. First, tears of mourning. I want you to look at verse 27. Luke writes, "And there followed him," behind Jesus, that is, "a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him." These women that Luke is talking about should not be confused with the women of Galilee. These are not women who had followed Jesus and had come now to Jerusalem to be with him to the bitter end. These were not devout followers of Jesus, but they were devout women of Jerusalem. And these women, as such was the case in the day, would come. They would come when a man was sentenced to die. And they would come to his execution to pay their respects. They would bring with them drugs and medicines, things to ease the pain. And like professional mourners, they would wail loudly. They would beat themselves. They would mourn. And they had come on this day to mourn the execution of a young man, Jesus of Nazareth, Shortly after college, I spent a month in a sub-Saharan village in Africa of Bawa. And we were not there just a day when we had happened upon a village funeral for a little boy who died from malaria. I have never heard mourning quite like that. The loudest shrieks and cries, wailing, beating themselves, mourning the death of this little boy. And I have no doubt that at some point in your life and some point in mine, we will cry like that as we mourn for someone. But I wonder, will we do it so publicly? What is so off-putting about this kind of mourning is they were doing it publicly, loudly for everyone to hear. They had come to pay their respects for Jesus, and they had good intentions. But they were crying for the wrong reasons. Their tears of mourning were misguided. And so Jesus, in verse 28, turns to them. And he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Now, given this scene, it's a startling statement. There is a huge crowd that is following Jesus on the way to Calvary. And they are hurling insults and spit, yelling, "Crucify him." In the middle of this crowd is a small band of women who are not insulting Jesus, they are mourning him. And yet Jesus does not rebuke this angry mob. Jesus rebukes the mourners. Why would he do that? What is Jesus saying? Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. As Spurgeon said, don't cry for the remedy. You need to cry for the disease. So it's not just tears of mourning that are provoked in us. It's tears of guilt. Look again at what Jesus says in verse 28. "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." To weep for the cross and for Jesus' death on it is to weep for the cure. Jesus here is calling us not to weep for the cure, but to weep for the disease. You see, it was our sins that put him on that road to Calvary. It was our sins that put him on the cross. It was our guilt that sent an innocent man to die. It is one thing to mourn the tragedy of an innocent man who was put to death. To look on this man, bloodied and beaten, and to have pity and sorrow for him. It is quite another thing to recognize that it is the tragedy deep within us, our own sins, that put him there. And so today Jesus is saying, do not weep for me. Weep for yourself. Weep for your sin that put me here. Don't mourn me. Mourn your sin. So when you look at the cross of Christ, what do you see? Do you see your guilt? Do you see your sins on the cross? Your greed, your lust, your envy. Do you see your sins that put him there? Your pride and your hatred, your anger. What do you see when you look on the cross of Christ? It is not just guilt that we sense, but it's also the coming judgment that awaits our sin. Jesus continues, if that wasn't enough, in verse 29, look with me. He says, "For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed.' They will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Here Jesus is referencing a prophecy of judgment. In those days, fertility was seen as a blessing. And he's saying that there will be a day that will come when your ability to have children is no longer a blessing, it will be a curse. And not only that, but you're going to wish that the mountains would fall on you rather than face the judgment of God. It's a prophecy that would come true in less than 40 years for the people of Jerusalem. When in 70 AD, the temple would be destroyed, Jerusalem would be completely demolished, and the people of Israel was scattered. For us today, it's a prophecy that is yet to be ultimately fulfilled. There will be a day when God will come again to judge the living and the dead. And those without Jesus Christ will be punished. Our sins will be punished. If you are in Jesus, he has punished your sins for you. He took the punishment for you on his back on the cross. Outside of Christ, you will bear the punishment on your own. And so to you, Jesus asks this question in verse 31. If they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? In other words, apart from me, apart from what I have done on the cross for you, if they would do this to me, if they would do this to me, full of life, green, you who are dried up and hard of heart, what do you think will happen to you? But there's a third type of tears that I believe are here in this passage. And to see them, you have to back up to verse 26. They're tears of joy. Easter is not just about the death of Jesus Christ. Easter is about his resurrection. He didn't just die for you. He rose for you. And for that reason, our tears of guilt become tears of joy. And his grace for us gives us great joy. Look in verse 26. It says, as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, laid him on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. You see, context for Jesus' rebuke of the daughters of Jerusalem is everything. And here, Jesus is making his way on the Via Dolorosa, on the road to his execution. And by this point, he has already been beaten. He's been tried. He's been whipped. He's been scourged with a cat of nine tails. His flesh has been ripped from his bones. He is bleeding. He is sweaty. He is tired. He has no strength in him left. So much so that he can no longer bear the weight of the cross on his back to carry it up to Golgotha. And so as he is carrying it, falling time and time again, the Roman soldiers see this. And they ask a man named Simon to carry the cross for Jesus. And so in one of the most perfect pictures of discipleship in the Bible, Simon picks up the cross of Christ and he follows behind Jesus. And so Jesus, without the weight, is now trying to muster up the strength to put one foot in front of the other, to make his way to his execution. And yet, he actually takes the time, with great courage, to muster up the strength, to stop, to turn and look at these weeping daughters of Jerusalem, to look them in the eye and say, don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. When you consider what Jesus was in the midst of, that he would take the time to muster up the strength, this last discourse that he would speak before the cross, you see that his rebuke is not out of anger. It is out of amazing grace. He is warning these women, and he's warning us today, Don't miss it. Don't miss what I'm about to do. Don't misunderstand it. I am about to die, but not for myself. I'm about to die for you, for your sins. And so with that in mind, the fact that it is our sin that put him there, yes, is cause for great tears of guilt. But the fact that our sin put him there and he died for our sin gives us great tears of joy. And what is more than that is he didn't just die for you. He rose for you. This is what that means. Your sins, the more that you realize, and I realize, it was for our sins that he died on the cross. The more that we realize it was for our sins that he conquered in his resurrection. And so as you look on the cross and you see your lust and your envy and your anger, we look forward to the day when we look at his resurrection and see that our lust and our anger has been conquered forever. And it fills us with great tears of joy. Do you see that? That your sins were punished on the cross, but your sins were conquered in his resurrection. And so this Easter, the question is this to all of us. How will you respond? Will you allow the cross of Christ to provoke your soul to the point of tears? But my prayer for you, for myself, is that our tears of guilt would become tears of joy. That the more that we see it was our sins that put him there, the more that we'd see that our sins have been forgiven. And the more that we see that one day, he will come again. And we will have no more tears forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.